We're going to have a congregational meeting now, and there are several items on the agenda, and Weldon will care for those things. And we will start with prayer before we begin. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful to you for this opportunity to discuss the business and the affairs of this church. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct us during our discussions and our voting. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Weldon?
Well, good morning, those of you who have stayed. The meeting is now called to order. This is the 2009 Annual Congregational Meeting of Grace Doctrine Church. We've had our prayer, and the next order of business is Mr. Secretary, is there a quorum? Where's Mr. Secretary?
Yes.
There you are. Okay. The next order of business is I will read the annual congregational minutes from February 2008, prepared by our secretary. My apologies that I have to include myself in the third person. It's very weird, but I'll do it. The annual congregational meeting for Grace Doctrine Church was held during the second session on Sunday, February 2008. The chairman of the Board of Deacons, Dr. Weldon Schott, was introduced by Pastor Griffin. Chairman Schott called the meeting to order. Chairman Schott, it sounds like I'm a Chi-Com, but I'm sorry. Chairman Schott asked Pastor Griffin to open the meeting in prayer. The chairman asked the secretary if a quorum was present, and he responded in the affirmative. The chairman read the minutes from February 07 and then entertained a motion to approve the minutes as read. The motion was made by Paul Davey and seconded by Mr. Tim Hunt. The motion was voted on by the congregation and passed unanimously. Chairman Schott also thanked Jay Humphreys for his service to the board. The chairman presented the agenda for the meeting, and that was the approval of the minutes from the previous year's annual meeting, ratification of Pastor Griffin's nominations for the 2008 Board of Deacons, and the 2007 annual financial report. The chairman proceeded with the ratification of nominations for the 2008 Board of Deacons. The ballots were distributed to the congregation. The votes were cast, ballots collected and counted, led by Jim Hunt. The chairman was informed that all nominations had been successfully ratified by the congregation. The chairman then introduced Dan Hunt for the presentation of the 2007 annual financial report. Riveting, remember? Mr. Hunt reported on the finances of Grace Doctrine's Church and Joe Media Ministries, Joe Griffin Media Ministries. He also presented a review of the building fund. The chairman thanked Mr. Hunt for his report. Chairman Schott then asked if there were any other new business or questions. And the chairman then entertained a motion to adjourn. This motion was made by Paul Davey, seconded by Danny Hunt, and voted and passed unanimously. The chairman gave the floor back to Pastor Griffin for announcements and comments before closing. The way this works, as some of you don't know, each year the pastor nominates who he wants to have as deacons. That is then approved by the current board of deacons. And then the last part is what we're going to do today. It has to be ratified by the church members. Adults who are 20 years and older and members of this church are eligible to vote. They can vote soon and vote often, as they do in Chicago. The names of the people nominated are Louis Basso, Paul Davey, Casey Hunt, Danny Hunt, Matthew Lawson, Weldon Schott, Paul Vesser, Gary Watson, and Paul Davey. I say his name twice because I like Paul. No, we actually left him off one year. And we didn't tell you. We were too embarrassed. I made the ballots out and I forgot his name. And he thought he had been booted. So I've given the ballots to Jim Hunt. He's going to pass those out now. And I guess I might have to tell a joke while he's doing that. Actually, I got a couple of dumb ones. These two jumper cables go into a bar, and the bartender says, "I'll serve you guys, but don't be starting anything in here." Although Everett Probasco and his fiancée Crystal will be the first wedding here, there was a wedding plan that had to go somewhere else. These two antenna that Joe wouldn't marry went to get married somewhere else. And their ceremony was not that elaborate, but their reception was great. And my last corny joke, what do you get when you cross a Jehovah's Witness with an atheist? Someone who rings your doorbell for no reason. Actually, when you cross them, they're the same anyway. I mean, they still ring your doorbell for no reason when they're purebred JWs. So while we're doing that, there's going to be... Paul said it's a deadlock. No. After this has been ratified, we're going to... I will entertain a motion that the minutes from 2008 be ratified and approved as is, and then someone should second it, and then we'll vote on that. And then Danny is going to give us a brief financial update, and then we're going to have requests for any questions and new business. And then we'll adjourn. You can go home and eat fried chicken. That's a southern thing on Sunday. If y'all don't hurry, I'm going to tell another joke. There is a story about how an arrogant man can become very humble and have a quick adjustment to reality and attitude. And this is back in the days of the Old West, where this old prospector gets off his mule and goes into the saloon. And a young, arrogant 21-year-old kid who fancies himself a gunslinger thinks he'll have some fun with the old man. And so he says, "Old man, have you ever danced?" And the old man says, "Sonny, I've never had the inclination or the time to dance." He said, "Well, you're going to learn." So he pulls his gun out, you know, and shoots at the floor in front of the old man. He has to dance, and the kid has a good laugh at the old man's expense. The old man walks out of the saloon. He goes out to his mule, unsheaths a shotgun about 9 foot long, double barrel, comes back in. As the kid drinking his beer, he hears two hammers cocked back on the shotgun. And he turns around, and the old man says, "Sonny, have you ever kissed a mule's butt?" And the young kid said, "No, sir, but I've always wanted to." Sorry. I'm just waiting for ratification. It's sort of like, I guess, in Minnesota. This is our first annual congregational meeting. This hasn't ever not been in Chesterfield Day School. So I guess you could say my jokes were all out of school since they're not in Chesterfield Day School anymore. Now I know why when these stand-up comedians go to a place, they sell drinks freely so people will laugh more for tough crowds. Did I hear someone say we should have Eucharist? Where did Jim go? Oh, there you are.
All names have been ratified.
Okay. You may not applaud or boo. Okay, now I will entertain a motion to approve the minutes of 2008 as read. Is there such a motion?
I'll
Bob? Okay, is there a second? Dave? Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carried. Danny will come up next with the financial update. And after that, I will have maybe Jim wake everyone up, and I'll come back and finish the meeting.
Good morning. The purpose of today's meeting is to review the financial information for Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministry, and for to let you know where we stand currently. Let's start with Joe Griffin Media Ministry for 2008. Our beginning balance was $172,000. We received almost $90,000 in contributions, earned $2,800 in interest, and our expenses last year were over $76,000, leaving us a balance of $188,000 in that account. Last year, with the approval of the Joe Griffin Media Ministry Board, we purchased a certificate of deposit for $100,000 so that we can make a little more interest on that CD than what we were making in the money market account. And if you look at the so far this year, 2009, we have $187,000 in that account. And the CD will be coming due just about the time that the board is going to purchase additional equipment. And Pastor Griffin has a couple of books that are going to go to printing sometime late this summer, early fall, that we will be using that money for. Now let's go to the financial information on Grace Doctrine Church. I've been asked questions by several of you over the last few months concerning our facility since it was completed. A couple of those questions were, how much did this facility cost us total, and what will it take to operate it on an annual basis, and some other concerns. And I put these people's answers off until we had this meeting so that I could address it with everyone. So I thought I would quickly review our history and bring you up to date on where we stand today. We raised money for the building fund beginning back in 2002, 3, and 4, but we had no expenses. In 2005, we purchased the land, 3.4 acres, for $562,000, and with the additional expenses we incurred, things like appraisal fees, environmental assessments, title insurance, we spent in 2005, over $575,000. 2006, we had the cost of removing the house and some trees, started paying the project manager and the civil engineers, to name a few, and we spent that year $25,000. In 2007, the expenses really kicked in. When our contractor started getting paid in September, we spent over $386,000 in the last 3 months of that year. And knowing where the expenses were going, I think this would make any treasurer sweat. Mike Probosco, where's Mike? Mike used to always talk to me about using faith rest, and I never did learn that principle through this. But I know one thing, the Board of Deacons really learned how to use impersonal love dealing with me in the last couple of years. And then 2008, now I'll slow down real quick and show you what happened last year. Let's talk about the general fund first. We started the year off with $188,000 and received $206,000 in revenues and earned $3,300 in interest. And our expenses were $138,000, leaving us $260,000 $584 in the general fund. The building fund started off that year with $1,000,004, earned almost $8,000 in interest, almost 10,000 in interest, and we received almost 8,000 in contributions. We spent $1,621,000, leaving us a shortage of $185,000. Some of the projections that I made in past years were to have loans, and what we ended up doing is covering the deficit of $185,000 with the money in the general fund of $260,000, leaving us on hand $75,000 going into 2009. And so here's the summary of what's happened from 2005, when we started construction, purchasing the land, to today. We spent $575,000 in 05, $25,000 in 06, $386,000 in 07, $1,006,000 in 08, and the total cost of this facility was $2,600,000 and some change. But this includes not only the land, the building, the deposit for Ameren, as an example, the project manager, all the appliances, the furniture, as well as some of the equipment we have. So here's where we stand today in closing. We started January with $75,000. With contributions and interest and expenses, we currently have $96,000 in our general fund. We no longer have a building fund. It's been closed. And the last item was that someone asked me this question. In our December board meeting, I presented to the board my budget for the year 2009, which I am estimating to be approximately $150,000 for this year. Are there any questions? Yes, sir?
Do we have any debt?
No, we have no debt. We have no loans at all. I felt a little nervous about that after starting the year off with $1,004,000, and now we're at $75,000. Until I talked to Gary Watson, he talked to a treasurer on one of his recent trips, and that treasurer said he had a little over $4,000 in his general fund. I felt pretty good. So it's all your perspective. Okay, Weldon.
Thanks, Danny. Who can argue with that? Danny is right. When you look back on all of this, it started out as a dream, and we became more and more determined to make it a reality. I can remember poor Joe Hunt. I even went with him on a couple of occasions. We'd try to talk to bankers who would be maybe interested in loaning us money. When they found out, they wanted to know how much money we had, we said, we don't have any. While we're talking to you, one guy didn't even finish his sandwich. I left rubber in the parking lot when he left. But, you know, God has his timing, and here we are in our new church, in our own place. And we don't have music lesson people coming behind us anymore, and we don't have shadow people and cleaning buckets. Maybe I'll miss some of those. And we don't sling chairs. I don't miss that at all. One day these kids are going to say, what do you mean sling chairs? We should have took movies. Because they won't believe us. Are there any other questions either related to finance or the church? This is your annual meeting and you get to ask questions. And that would be the time. The next thing I'm going to ask is Pastor Griffin to explain and elucidate on an email that he got from Mark Davey, who is in field. And we will carry on from there. Joe, would you like to do that?
Thank you, Weldon. I did want to make this a part of our new business today. I did receive an email from Mark. It's dated today's date, but sent from Afghanistan. And I'll read it to you, and then I'll make a proposal. He writes, "Dear all, I'm asking for assistance in finding a vehicle. I will be living down at Fort Campbell, Kentucky for at least a year, while Jill and the kids remain in Alton. We're looking for a car, so I ask for your prayers and your eyes. If you see that one car on the corner or know of someone selling a vehicle, can you please forward them my email? I would greatly appreciate it. We're looking for something that can make it from Fort Campbell to St. Louis and not be worried much about anything else." He says, "Also, please remember I'll be driving the thing." He said, "We're in the $1,500 to $2,000 price range. I know that God has this figured out already, and I'm excited to see it unfold. Thank you for your assistance and all of this in his name. Love you all and look forward to seeing you during April. Keep the faith, Mark." Well, I have an idea here, and I'd like to propose this to the congregation. My motion will go something like this. I propose that we create a Mark Davey Automobile Fund, and we will have this transpire over the course of a month, say the 15th of March, say. And during that period of time, we'll see if we can somehow raise this $2,000 or even more possibly. And that money be provided to Mark and his family to locate an automobile that'll help him get from Fort Campbell to Alton on occasion. And I'm also going to recommend that Les Johnson, who works for Bomarito and has direct access to all manner of different cars and automobiles, both new and used, that he head up the committee once the amount has been determined to locate an appropriate car for Mark and his family. That's my motion, and I'll let Weldon proceed with the particulars.
Okay, the motion has been made by Pastor Griffin. Is there a second? Tom, okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carried. Joe mentioned Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah, Danny, sorry. Unless you know any Jaguars for like 90% off, you can get them. Rosie?
Will that also include the insurance for the car, too?
Good point.
My motion was for the automobile. Yeah. This is a discussion, so you can put chairman.
Mark, with his letter, it sounds like he was planning on having a car. It's not worth insuring. And it would just be like liability, you know. No, but, you know, a $2,000 car, if you have $500 damage, you're getting close to totaling it. So that's probably not a factor with him. He'll have to have liability. Paul, that you were, well, you're raising your hand or just?
No, I would suggest that it wouldn't cover insurance. They, you know, we can put a rider on your
yeah. Oh, okay.
So, I'll give him $12 a month, yeah.
Okay. Speaking of that, Joe mentioned Wednesday or Thursday that somebody had inquired about what happens if Joe up and dies or croaks or leaves or is run off. And it occurred to me that we should put in his contract that he can't die. And when Lou gets back from California, I'm going to insist that he write a contract that, and if you can fulfill that every year, we'll give you a bonus of like $50 for living.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. All right.
You can't talk about the Board of Deacons.
That's right. It would be hotly debated. Okay. Where am I? Oh. Adjourn. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're supposed to speak up.
I'm asking for a few other men, some volunteers as ushers. We're running a little short. We could use probably another three or four, maybe. And if someone would like to volunteer, JC, myself, or Dave Smith, we appreciate that.
Yeah, and any man who wants to volunteer is more than welcome. The only requirement we have is they wear a coat and tie so they look professional. Yeah, Paul?
Not to leave the ladies out, we are actually in need of other nursery assistants. Libby has 14 right now. In any month that we have four Sundays that take 16 folks, in any month we have five Sundays that takes 20 folks. So
call Linda if you're interested.
Yeah, or contact me, either one.
Okay. That's sort of time. Oh, yeah.
How old do you have to be an usher?
15.
I have to be able to
stand up.
I have to be able to wear a coat and tie and hand out boys.
Yeah. I see two young boys squirming now. But when Paul mentioned something that ties in, some of you may wonder about this. With nursery the way it is, and even junior prep school, we're going to run out of room, not in the auditorium first, but we're going to run out of room. And someday in the future, we're going to have to add on to this building, so we will probably have to revive a building fund, an add-on fund or something, because boy, when all those junior prep school kids hit senior prep school, I'll probably be up here pleading for more teachers for senior prep school, because some may quit. Even the church that we looked at that was now, I think, part of St. Luke's, at least it was us and St. Luke's vying for this. And this church had an auditorium five times this size. And they told us they weren't moving because of auditorium space. They were moving because they didn't have enough Sunday school space. And I guess I'd never thought about it because we've never had that problem before. That's what's happening because none of you do what that woman did and have like 8 or 9 either, because we'd have to run you off. That's just not right. Okay, I would entertain a motion now to adjourn. Is there a motion? Or we just stand here. Tim in the back. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Joe, would you like to close us in prayer?
Yes.
You make some comments, too.
I would like to tell you a story briefly. I know you want to leave. Oh, I have 6 minutes. Several years ago, Dana Schott received a phone call from Pepe. And his wife, Pepe's wife, was a member of some church down on the north side of St. Louis. And they wanted to have a guest speaker, and they wanted to know if I'd go. And she said, sure he will. So I'm suddenly hooked on to going out to Pepe's wife's church up in North St. Louis to address some group. And I made Weldon go with me. And we got up on this stage to give our little talks, and that was that. But it turns out, why were they meeting? It was on a Friday night and happened to be Good Friday. And what they were having the meeting for was to encourage the usurers. And it was the young usurers. So we didn't exactly know what it was all about. We didn't want to ask questions. So we went, and, you know, we were loaded for bear. And when we got there, what we found out is that this church trained ushers by starting them young. And so it was the young ushers that needed to be encouraged. And so that was our duty. And it was a wonderful evening. And one of the things that I noticed that was absolutely encouraging to me is that when we got there, it was a gymnasium associated with the church. And these young people had already accumulated there. And they were dressed very nicely. And they came up to me and Weldon, our wives, Johanna and Dana, and held out their hands very courteously and introduced themselves and said they were happy we were there to worship with them. These were, among these young men, were the young ushers. And what they wanted them to do was to go and do the duties that you see our ushers doing, taking up collections, handling the Eucharist, welcoming people, handing out bulletins, and so on. And it was a training program for them. And we certainly don't have any age limit on those who can be ushers in our congregation. It gives you the opportunity to present yourself to those who come into the church. You're young men who get yourself dressed up looking spiffy in your suit, hand out bulletins, maybe even collect the offering on occasion. Whatever you would like to do, we'll let you do. You're the young usurers. And so I encourage that. There's no age limit on it at all. And the more involved that young people can be in our congregation, the better I like it. I've often appealed to young people in our church who have singing or musical abilities. You're certainly welcome to let me know about that, and we'll let you have at it. I don't know what the deal is with bashfulness, but nobody usually throws anything here. If anybody's going to get thrown at it, it'd be me. And no tomatoes, anything so far. So feel free to come up and give it a go. We'd love to hear you perform or sing or both. And we certainly encourage young people in the church, the young men, to volunteer for duties involving ushers. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to discuss the affairs of this church. We thank you for the phenomenal grace that you have directed toward this organization as well as Media Ministries. It is our prayer that you will continue to motivate and encourage us to continue to do our duties on both of these fronts, providing your immutable word to those who are thirsty for it, be it local, be it Doritos, be it through some form of media. We thank you for supporting us financially so that your word might be distributed to those who are positive. And now we thank you for this day and this time in this place as we lift our prayer. In the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.